This podcast is brought to you by Pastor Terry Green and Celebration Church in Salinas, California. For more information, you can visit us on our website at celebrationchurchsalinas.cc.
So we're just going to take each line of this, and God's going to begin to give us some things here. So Psalm 40, verses 1 through 2, I'll just read it one more time. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined me. Anybody glad that God hears us when we pray? And he heard my cry. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit. And when I was thinking about that the psalmist David was remembering that God had brought him out of situations in his life. God had brought him out of horrible situations in his life that seemed overwhelming, that seemed impossible. And while I was thinking about this, all of a sudden I began to think of my childhood. And, my parents tell me stories. It's almost like folklore. They tell me stories about what I used to do and, some of the things that shenanigans I used to pull and stuff. But really, before I even knew what a shenanigan was, I think I was 3 or 4 years old. And I have a 4-year-old named Braylon Carter. And I love that little dude. And, of course, I have a 7-year-old named Avon. And love him with all my heart. And but Braylon is, Avon was kind of big. He got tall quick and got kind of, he's athletic and lanky and strong and fast. And Braylon is too. He's coming into his own, but he's just been smaller for a while. You know what I mean? He just, he's taking his time coming, growing into his body. But just active and just, I'm grateful. And so, but anyway, he's 4 years old. And they tell me when I was 4 years old that I grew up in North Salinas near Natividad High School, and 831 represent. No. And so I grew up right there on Lassen Avenue, and our house had these like decorative lattice woodwork on the side of the house. Somehow I snuck out of the house, and 4 years old, and I began to climb this lattice work. And I got up to the roof and somehow got onto the roof. No parent around me, no friend around me. I'm by myself climbing onto the roof. And so all of a sudden, my mom and dad are looking for me in the house and they can't find me. And so they're looking in, they're looking in the house, and then they come out of the house and they're, Jason, just my dad, just going for it, man, looking for me up and down, in and out of the house. And I don't know why, but I was sitting on the roof watching all of this. And I was just sitting up there perched, just chilling, man. Netflix and chill. I don't know. It's entertaining. Let me get my popcorn ready, whatever. I don't know what I was thinking. I'm just a little guy. I think what happened was I was afraid that if I said, hey, Dad, that I was in trouble because I was on the roof. But I realize now that I got up there but didn't know how to get down. And so, but I'm sitting up there and I don't say anything, and they're looking for me frantically in and out of the house. And finally, my dad is running in and he happens to look up and he sees me sitting on the roof, dangling my feet over the side. And so immediately my dad was like, don't move. Don't move. And I'll come get you. And, have you ever gotten yourself in a situation that you didn't know how to get yourself out of, and God just said, be still, and I'll get you out of this? And I begin to remember that my dad got me out of situations that I got myself into. One other time was, I guess I was 2 years old at this point. Two. My grandpa had a truck, and it was a manual transmission, and so my dad ran into my grandma's house for something, and he happened to leave the keys in the truck. And it's a manual transmission. He's like, my son's 2 years old. He can't, there's no way. I guess I was a peculiar 2-year-old, though. I don't know. Anyways, he ran in, and when he went in, I locked both doors. 2 years old, I locked both doors, and somehow got the keys into the ignition and began to... I guess somehow I got the truck in first gear. And every time I turned the key, the truck would lurch forward. The truck is in the road. And so my dad comes out And he finds me standing on the seat with the wheel, smiling so happy because I'm driving a truck. And then he tried to get in, and I had locked both doors. And he was like, open the door. And my grandpa was standing right there, and my grandpa thought it was cute, so he started laughing. And my dad said, it's not funny. Jason, open the door. And so you can imagine this drama's unfolding now. And I'm having the time of my life, man. I'm like, I'm driving. Every time I turn the key, it's going forward. And I'm driving. I see daddy drive all the time. And now I'm driving, you know. I'm in control now. And so, I was getting close to danger. And I didn't know it. And so finally my dad got the truck open and obviously got me out of there. But have you ever got yourself in a situation, and maybe you didn't even know you were in danger, but God said, hey, look, I'm going to come in. I'm going to rescue you here. David said that God brought me out of a horrible pit, out of a terrible pit. And this is the awesome thing about God. God has a history of bringing his people up and out of situations. God specializes in bringing his people out of situations that seem impossible. All through the Word of God, you see this, that our God is a deliverer, that he brings people out. Someone say, bring people out. This is what God does. He brings people out of situations that they don't know how to get out of themselves. He brought Daniel out of the lion's den. This is who our God is. He showed up and shut the lion's mouth and was able to bring Daniel out of the lion's den. He showed up in the midst of the fiery furnace and brought Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego out of the fire without the smell of smoke. In fact, the Bible says that they went into the fire bound up, but they came out of the fire free. And you know the story that the king looked in the fire and he said, did not we cast three men in the fire? And now I see, who is this fourth man? What I have found out is that God will show up in your hardest times, and he'll show up to set you free. And the Bible says, he says, I see a fourth man walking, but they're all walking loosed in the fire. They went in bound, three of them, and now there's four of them walking around loose in the fire. Because God can show up in your hardest moments and set you free. And the Bible says that they came out even without the smell of smoke. Hallelujah. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you've been through. But I'm declaring today that by the grace of God, God will bring us out without the smell of smoke. Because God still brings his people out. He brought the widow of Zarephath out of poverty and starvation. He brought Sarah, Abraham's wife, out of barrenness. Because God specializes in bringing people out of impossible situations. He brought the woman with the issue of blood out of hemorrhaging for 12 years. Because God specializes in bringing people out of impossible situations. He brought blind Bartimaeus out of blindness. He brought 10 lepers out of leprosy. He brought Peter out of shame after he had denied Jesus. He brought Lazarus out of being dead for 3 days. He stood at the tomb and said, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus got up, hallelujah, and came forth, because God brings people out of situations. Have you ever experienced God taking you out of a horrible situation? I don't know if I'm talking to anybody, but have you ever experienced God taking you out of a situation that you couldn't get yourself out of? Maybe it was a money situation. Maybe it was a marriage situation. Maybe it was a family situation. Hello, somebody right now. Maybe it was a health situation or a relationship situation or horrible mental or emotional state. But I think many of us have, maybe all of us have experienced God bringing us out of situations that we didn't know how to get out of. Maybe you're here today and you find yourself in a difficult situation that you're not sure how to get out of. The good news is, church, there is hope for every situation. Because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If he brought David out, he can bring you out. If he brought Sarah out, he can bring you out. If he brought Elijah out, he can bring you out. No matter what you're going through today, God can bring you out and bring you up. If you believe it, somebody say amen. Psalm 18, verse 16. He sent from above, he took me, he drew me out of many waters. Notice that. He sent me from above, and he took me. He drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy. God brings people out of, maybe you're here and you don't know exactly what I'm talking about, but when the situation seems like it's too much for you. This is where David found himself. It seemed like the waters were coming in and just kept coming in. And it was just, you know, the Bible says the enemy comes in like a flood, but the Lord will raise up a standard against them. Amen. And the Bible says that David found himself here. He said, but I called to you and you drew me out of many waters. God, when the waters seem to get too high and you don't know how to get yourself out, I'm glad that God still draws people and draws his people out of those waters. This is who our God is. He's a rescuer. Over and over and over through scripture, you see God reach down and rescue people. The Israelites at the Red Sea, Pharaoh behind him chasing them to put them in Egyptian captivity, and God reached down and parted the Red Sea, because we serve a God who still shows up and brings his people out. Hallelujah. Come on, when God's people were in the wilderness, God showed up and said, I'll lead you with a pillar of fire by day, by night, and a pillar of cloud by day. I'll feed you with manna from heaven. You don't know how you're going to get fed? That's okay. I'll still bring you out of starvation. Hallelujah. I'll bring water out of a rock for you. Whatever it is you need, I'm still the rescuer. We see him rescue Daniel. We see him rescue Ezekiel. We see him rescue Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Everywhere you look in the Word of God, God is bringing his people out of what the devil tried to put them in. And here's the good news, church. There's not a bondage that the devil can put on you that Jesus can't destroy off of you. Can anybody testify? He tried to put depression on me, but Jesus took it off. He tried to put sickness on me, but Jesus took it off. He tried to put oppression on me, but Jesus took it off. Because, church, we still serve a God who takes his people out of the bondage that the devil tries to put on them. Come on, does anybody with me testify? I'm about to see some chains fall. I'm about to see some sickness leave. I'm about to see depression run out scared. Come on, somebody give God a shout of praise in here today. Hallelujah. Come on, I love that scripture that says, if it had not been for the Lord that was on my side, where in the world would I be? I may have lost my mind if it wasn't for the Lord on my side. I may be dead today if it wasn't for the Lord on my side. That car may have hit me if it wasn't for the Lord on my side. But thank God he was for me. And Johnny, if God be for me, who in the world can be against me? Steve, I still serve a deliverer. I feel like preaching the unadulterated gospel of Jesus Christ. That Jesus is still my rescuer. He's still my way maker. He makes a way out of no way. I don't know what you're facing in here this morning. I don't know what the devil has been lying to you, saying, I'm going to keep you sick. I'm going to keep you bound. I'm going to keep you down. Listen, I came to call the devil a liar and say all things are possible to him that believes, and no weapon. I wonder if there's any faith in the room that says, devil, no weapon formed against me shall be able to prosper, and every tongue that rises against me, I will condemn. Come on, somebody take a praise break and give him some praise. Woo! Hallelujah. Maybe I can just unplug it. I think it's that one. I'm not sure which one, but I think it's that one. They'll get to it when they get to it. Come on, somebody. Come on, back in the day, they didn't even have sound systems. I grew up in a church where sometimes it worked, but Jesus always showed up. I feel that old song back in the day that says, you may not know how, you may not know when, but one thing I know for sure, my God will do it again. Somebody just shout again. Shout again. My God heals again. My God delivers again. My God shows up in your life again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Someone say up and out. This is who our God is. Psalm chapter 18, verse 19. There we go. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Steve. Appreciate it. We're going to sell that one after church. No, I'm just kidding. Oh, thank you, Lord. Psalm chapter 18, Verse 19, he also brought me out. Someone say, he brought me out. He brought me out. He brought me out of fear. He brought me out of sickness. He brought me out of pain. He brought me out of confusion. He brought me out of oppression. He brought me out of depression. He brought, not me. He brought me out. Sometimes I get happy when I think about that he's the one who's brought me out, and no matter what I'm facing, he'll bring me out again. He also brought me out into a broad place. Someone say it gets better. He delivered me because he delighted in me. Hallelujah. So he brought me out. That's the first line in the scripture. Now, Psalm chapter 40, verse 2 says, he brought me out of the horrible pit, and he brought me out of the miry clay. When I was thinking about clay, if you've ever done any digging, sometimes even here in Salinas, that you'll dig down. If you dig down enough, you hit clay. And clay it can be super hard, but when it gets wet, it's like slimy and slippery. It's hard to maneuver in. It's hard to walk through. It's unstable and all those things. And so this is where David found himself. He found himself in a slippery place in his life, an unstable, difficult place to walk through in his life, difficult to get out of. But God brought David out of that place. If you feel like this morning, maybe there's some places in your life that have been unstable, caused you to slip and fall time and time again, and maybe it's been difficult to walk through. As God delivered David, I believe God's word to you is, continue to believe, because as I brought David out, I'll bring you out as well. Amen. Hallelujah. And I don't have a lot of time to spend on that, but those areas of life that have been slippery and hard to navigate, hard to walk through, maybe it's not every area of your life, but these areas of your life that maybe you've slipped and fallen several times, God says, I'm the one who can bring you out. Just continue to believe. Someone say, believe. Amen. Believe and do what he says to do, and you'll find yourself walking in freedom. Verse 3 says, you brought me out of a horrible pit. You took me out of the miry clay. How many of you know when you're in the clay, you're dirty? When you get in the clay, man, that stuff gets everywhere, and it's hard to get out. The picture here is, God, you brought me out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, out of the dirty places of my life. And then he says, and you set my feet upon a rock. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ is the rock of the ages. He is the rock of our salvation. He is the rock out of the house of Jacob. He is the rock in the wilderness that Moses struck when they were in the desert, millions of people coming out of Egyptian bondage. Moses struck the rock and water gushed out. How many of you know that's a miracle? And this is a picture of Jesus being on the cross, because Jesus is the rock of our salvation. And when he was struck in the side, water began to gush out. And from that day to this, we've all been drinking of the waters of salvation. Jesus Christ is our rock and our firm foundation. Acts chapter 4 and verse 11 says, Jesus is the stone that the builders rejected and the chief cornerstone. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Hallelujah. Jesus said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and he was with God in the beginning. And then verse 14, it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And Jesus says, I and my word are one. So he says, I am your rock, and you can build your life upon my word. Matthew 7, 24 and 25 says, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. When we build our lives on the Word of God, church, why are we here on a Sunday morning to hear the Word of God? Because we want to build our lives on the Word of Almighty God. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but his Word remains forever. He watches over his word to perform it. Hallelujah. When God says it, it stands fast. He says, have I not said it? Will I not make it good? The word of God stands forever. Hallelujah. It's a firm foundation to build our lives upon. And so when we find out what God says about healing, we can stand on that word. That surely he bore my sicknesses, carried away my pains. The chastisement of my peace was upon him. And by his stripes, I was healed. So we can build our lives that Jesus is our healer. When we find out that he says, I'll meet all your needs according to my riches and glory. Then we can build our lives on the truth that Jesus is my provider. Hallelujah. When we find out that his word says that he who keeps his mind on me, I will keep in perfect peace. Then we find out that Jesus is now our Prince of Peace. And we can build our lives on the fact that he gives us peace in the midst of trying situations. Somebody say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. And so we build our lives upon the word of God so that when the winds and rain of doubt or pain or symptoms or rejection or hardship may come against us, we choose to hold on to the rock. Hallelujah. That is higher than I. Aren't you glad in the middle of a storm, you can hold on to the rock and see the storm leave and you still be standing? Hallelujah. Psalm 40, verse 2, it says again that he brought me out of a horrible pit. He brought me out of the miry clay. He established my steps. Excuse me, that he set my feet upon a rock. And then the next thing he says is God established my steps. In other words, God gave David new direction for his life. Someone say direction. Direction. Yeah, God gave direction to David for his life. I love this because Psalm 37, 23 and 24 says, the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. He delights in his way. Though he fall, he will not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his right hand. But the first part of the verse is what I want to focus on. The steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. God has ordered steps for every Christian. He has divine direction for every Christian, for every believer. And this is huge because God gives you the next step. Someone say step. And then as you follow that direction, God begins to release his destiny in your life. Hallelujah. So then God gives you one step at a time. Because it takes faith to take that step when you can't see the next steps. And the Bible says that we walk by faith and not by sight. The Bible says it is impossible to please God without faith. So God will give you a step. He'll give you an instruction. And as you take that step, then all of a sudden now you're walking in God's direction for your life. In other words, no longer am I walking in my direction or the enemy's direction for my life. Now I am walking in God's direction for my life. Now, this is important because I felt like God gave me this. He said, step. Someone say step. Just one step at a time. He'll give you one direction. And then when you take that step, then God will illuminate the next step. The Bible says, the word of God is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. His words will I hide in my heart that I may not sin against thee. The entrance of his word gives light and gives understanding to the simple. So God, many times when you're reading the word of God or when you're praying or even here in church, God will give you steps of direction to take. And as you take those steps of direction, take those steps of obedience, now you're walking in God's path and God's direction for your life. What I found is that when I'm going in God's direction, all of a sudden I begin to discover. Guys, go ahead and put those up there for me. Those four keys. Number one, steps. God will give you steps. It may be forgive that person. It may be get up and begin to read your Bible. It may be spend some time in prayer on the way to work. It may be become a tither, become a giver, serve, do something with your life to accomplish my kingdom and my goal in the earth. But whatever God's step is for you, begin to take those steps. And so as you take those steps, then now you have God's direction in your life. You are no longer wandering. Come on, somebody, like children in the wilderness, but now you have divine direction. You have divine purpose with your life. You're not wondering why you're created. You're walking in your creative direction from God for your life. Somebody say amen. what I found out is that when I begin to take steps, then I begin to discover God in new ways. Sometimes it's when you obey God that you get to know God better. He reveals more of himself to those who obey his instructions. So as I obey God and take the step, now I'm walking in God's direction, then I begin to discover more of who God is and who God's made me to be. And so then as I'm discovering that, now destiny, God's destiny begins to unfold. So God gives you steps to take. And that's why the Bible says the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. I'm thinking about Abraham this, because the Bible says this. God told Abraham, get out of your country, get out of your father's house, and go to a place that I will show you. And there, someone say there. There I will bless you, and there I will make your name great. There you will become the father of many nations. But notice, Abraham didn't get any of that until he took the step God told him to take. In other words, God had potential in Abraham that he was unable to fulfill until he obeyed God and took that step. Maybe God has more potential for you if you would just begin to take the steps that God is asking you to take. Someone say amen. Elijah, the same thing. There was a famine in the land, and God told Elijah, go to Zarephath. Go to Zarephath, and he says, there. Someone say there. There I have provided a widow to provide for you. Elijah didn't get the supernatural provision until he took the step of obedience. So steps of obedience lead to supernatural provision. Your steps are ordered by the Lord. The Bible says that our God is a good shepherd. Hallelujah. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He restores my soul. Hallelujah. He leads me beside still waters. He leads. Someone say leads. See, Jesus is leading you. The devil will try to push you, but Jesus will always lead you. Here's how you know. If it's God or the enemy trying to speak to you and try to lead you. If the devil is trying to get you to do something, he'll try to force you. He'll try to push you and force you. Jesus will never push you. He will never force you. He will only always just lead you. Come this way, son. Come this way, daughter. I'm the good shepherd. I'll lead you beside still waters. Make you sit down in green pastures. Huh? Yea, though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you will fear no evil. For my rod and my staff, I am with you. Hallelujah. For I am with you. Hallelujah. My rod and my staff, they comfort you. Glory to God. I'll prepare a table in the presence of your enemies. Hallelujah. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of the life, and you will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So we need to, each day, present ourselves before Jesus to receive those steps of instruction. Someone say amen. Amen. And you can do that through Bible reading. You can do that through prayer on your way to work. But you want to position yourself to hear from the shepherd so that you know my steps are ordered by the Lord. If I'm going to take this job, I'm going to pray about it first. If I'm going to date this person, I'm going to pray about it first. Come on, somebody. If I'm going to do these different things, I'm not saying you need to get up and pray about what clothes you need to wear. Come on, somebody. But about the decisions that you need to make, make sure you spend time with God and get those answers. Somebody say amen. 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 All right. I love this. I love this. The last scripture that we'll cover, it's Psalm 40, verse 3. It says, he has put a new song in my mouth. God brought David out of a horrible pit. He brought him out of the miry clay. He set his feet on the rock. He established his steps. And God said, David said, God, only you could put a new song in my mouth. Hallelujah. What if God put a new song in your mouth? God can put a new song in your mouth because of what he has done, because of what he is doing, and because of what he will do. Hallelujah. God still specializes in bringing his people out, bringing his people up, setting your feet upon a solid rock, establishing your steps. And I just have felt like really the whole time that God wanted to kind of highlight that third step, that I want to establish your steps, that God has divine direction for your life. You don't have to wonder if you're walking in God's plan for your life. You can know. The Bible says that the sheep know their shepherd's voice, and the voice of a stranger they will not follow. Amen. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. The way that we're to be led is not by outward circumstance. It's not by what's going on in the world. We're not to be led by lack. Come on, somebody. We're not to be led. Y'all with me? We're not to be led by fear. We're not to be led by needs. We are to be led by the Holy Spirit on the inside of us, that He will lead and He will guide you in the steps that you take. And as you begin to walk in the divine direction that God has, look what happened to Abraham. He got to where God wanted him to be, and God provided a ram and a bush and began to explode in Abraham's life. When Elijah followed the direction he got to Zarephath, supernatural, miraculous provision showed up in Elijah's life because he followed the instruction. What is on the other side of you and I obeying the instruction of the Lord? Hallelujah. Come on, did you hear that? What is on the other side of you and I obeying the instruction of the Lord? God only gives you instruction to take your life higher. Hallelujah. Someone say this, He's good. And He only gives you instruction to take your life higher. Sometimes He'll ask you to do things that aren't comfortable, that maybe aren't real popular. You don't feel like praying for that person. You feel like flipping that person off. I'm just using an example. You know, come on. You may not feel like going to church, or you may not feel like loving and blessing somebody and praying for your enemy. Come on. He'll ask you to do some stuff that you don't feel like doing, but when you do it, you've got the pleasure of knowing I obeyed the Lord, and that just opened the door for God to bring blessing into your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So in those areas of our life, we present ourselves before you, Lord, to hear your instruction and to take those steps by your grace, to take those steps and to please you in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. Amen. Hallelujah. If you'll bow your heads and you'll close your eyes and you're here this morning, say, man, I don't know Jesus. I need to get some things right between me and the Lord. So whether you've never received Jesus as your personal Savior or you've known Him, but there's just some things you need to get right between you and Him. On the count of three, I just want you to lift your hand and we're going to pray with you. We're going to pray for you. Man, His arms are open wide. The beautiful thing about Jesus is that His mercies are new every single morning. And God, we give you praise for that. We give you glory for that. But if you're here and you need either one of those invitations or tugging at your heart and you know you want to make that decision today, on the count of three, I just want you to lift your hand. We're going to pray with you and pray for you. One, two, three. Lift them up. Thank you, Lord. Yes, yes, yes. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord, I see those hands. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, for every hand because everyone is significant to you. Come on, everybody in this place, let's pray this prayer together. Say this, say, Father God, forgive me of my sin. I believe Jesus Christ is Lord of my life. By your grace, with your help, I turn away from my old ways and I turn to you. By your grace, I thank you. I live for you. I worship you. I honor you all the days of my life. I thank you that you have brought me up and out, and my best is yet to come. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, somebody rejoice for every decision that was just made. Hallelujah.
This podcast is brought to you by Pastor Terry Green and Celebration Church in Salinas, California. For more information, you can visit us on our website at celebrationchurchsalinas.cc.